Brother Chris works with us there at the barn shop, and the excitement that invariably came if Julia showed up or if his phone rang with a particular number on the caller ID, and yet somehow it seems like the day will never come. You know, it's set there and it seems like the day will never come, but it's here, and we're rejoicing with you. But this day is also for every couple here. Every married couple that has entered into the bonds of holy matrimony, this day is also your day in a sense. The burden I've had on my heart for some time is the number of marriages that are failing in what is considered conservative circles. I have relatives and close acquaintances that got married since my wife and I did, and in far too many of those situations there's been unfaithfulness. Remember hearing about a young widow. She's about 40 years old. She lost her beloved husband to cancer. But in the same community are others, two, that one another other than their husband. And she was overheard to say, "What is wrong with these girls? What's wrong with them? I lost mine, but they don't want theirs." The title of the message this morning is Keeping Love's Flame Burning. And my burden is more for you out there, but we have some things for you too. And I'm wondering if we could have a private interview with each of you couples. If we could have a private interview and ask you this question and resonate the answer on your face: is love's flame still burning in your relationship? I wonder what your answer would be. Today, Brother Chris and Sister Julia, your love burns brightly. Will it still be aglow in 10 years, 20 years, 40 or 50 years? Will it still be aglow? If it is, it will mean that God has been near and that you two have opened your hearts to each other and continued to cultivate love between you. It's quite possible to do. It's actually a tremendous, a wonderful exercise. It's actually quite a joy. The scripture says, "He that loveth his wife loveth himself." We'd like to promote that kind of self-love. I'd like to consider here in beginning from 1 Peter chapter 3 a few roles in marriage. A few roles. If you're going to keep love's flame alive, you'll have to do it God's way. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 1, we'll start reading the first 7 verses here. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible." It never gets old. It's not corruptible. "That which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, Brother Chris, dwell with Julia according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Many do not look at the teaching, this teaching in the Bible, as binding, but if you want love's flame to burn brightly, we want to note about three things here. Number one, in verse 3 and 4, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning, but the inward adorning, the hidden man of the heart. Love is desired. Many turn to outer expressions. But verse 4 says, the hidden man of the heart. And today, you're rich in love towards each other. You've been making some investments. I don't think Brother Chris has been finding himself fishing on Sunday afternoons or Sunday evenings. I don't know if you think that's okay to fish on Sunday evening. But there's just been a narrow amount of things that Brother Chris has been doing. Anything that includes Julia. And so if you keep that up, guess what will happen? You say, well, you know, people end up getting married and then the devotion dims. And guess what? Love's flame dwindles. Today you're rich, but you out there that have been married for some time, are you rich in love toward your mate, in that hidden man of the heart? Is she a treasure? Is he a treasure to you? Is there meekness and sweetness toward your mate? That hidden man of the heart. You know, you can do a lot of flowery things. And I'm for giving some flowers, but if all the expression of love that has is flowers, and flowers are wonderful, but if there's not a meaning behind it, you know, that hidden man of the heart, a quiet delight, I wrote here. A meek and quiet spirit. But further, there's a call, especially for the wives, to adorn themselves with a meek and quiet spirit. It says here, but it's wonderful if the husband has a reciprocating, meek and quiet, safe, solid, secure attitude in the home. We find rich things here. If you have a mate that has these things, you have a treasure. And if you have a mate that doesn't have them, start gardening. Gardening. What do you do when you're gardening? And you work up the soil and you put some seeds in there. You know, you get all the weeds out. That's what Ephesians 5 talks about, that of discipling, nurturing, and working with your wife, husband. If she's not that way, start gardening. Start planting some things. You might have these things in your own life first and cultivate them there too. Point number two in this chapter here in 1 Peter 3, I'd like to talk about godly women. In verse 5 and 6, it says, for after this manner in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Godly women, Sister Julia, have always adorned themselves with subjection and trusting in God. Now, Sarah found herself in a few vulnerable situations, but her trust in God was real big. And I encourage you today, as you look into the future, as being Brother Chris's wife, make your trust to God big and put subjection to your husband right in there. In that same thing, in trusting in God and subjection to your husband, it'll do you good and help you too. Verse 6 says that Sarah obeyed Abraham. Now, in our society, that would be considered abusive. But the Bible still says that Sarah obeyed Abraham. And if you follow that pattern, sister, you're one of her daughters. What a joy, what an honor. Don't, Brother Chris, don't put your wife in vulnerable situations like Abraham did Sarah. But it doesn't draw out here in this passage, doesn't draw out Abraham's virtues in this matter, but rather Sarah's virtue. She called him Lord. Actually, that's one of the terms used in Ephesians chapter 5. God created men to need respect and admiration. Isn't that right, Chris? When a man feels admired by his wife, he can take the world. I've heard my wife was sharing with me a book she was reading, and it was a book for ladies. And in this book, it was described how this particular wife, when her husband came home with the check, you know, at the end of the work week, he comes in with the check. They were waiting at the door for him. And when he came in and he has the check, however much amount it was, she called the children and says, "Children, look what Daddy brought in. Now we can have these things and these things and these things that we need. Isn't this wonderful?" And did he thrive? Oh my, yes. A husband needs that. And Sister Julia, you can give that to him more than any other person. When a wife relates this way to her husband, it adds something beautiful to their lives. And when these things are not there, you're putting out love's flame. You're failing to maintain love's flame. And if there's rankling, and there's arguing, and there's accusation going on, you can be sure that love's flame is being quenched. Number 3 from this passage, husbands. Let's read that verse in verse 7. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." You already know some things about Julia. I'm going to guess she probably has a weakness or two. You'll find out more about that. I'm sure she has some tremendous strengths. But those areas where you know that she's weak, compensate for those. Try to cover for those. I don't think of an illustration right now. Maybe something will come soon here. But calculate her particular isms. Some things that are particular to her. Maybe she needs to talk from 9 o'clock to 10, 11 sometimes. Maybe some people are night persons. I'm not. When it reaches 9 o'clock, this boy is about ready to go to bed. My wife also likes to go to bed early, so it works out real well. But for those husbands whose wives need to talk, and maybe in the evening is the best time to talk, take that into consideration. And drink an extra cup of coffee or something and sit up and talk. Dwell with her by what you know about her and take that into the equation. What a wife needs is a man who is considerate. A man who is considerate. It says dwell with them. You know, sometimes people get married, men get married, and then it seems like they're interested in everything else. You know, every evening of the week's got to have something going on. Whether it's some project or whether it's the fire department, that seems to be a time gobbler. Depending what it is, she wants a man who dwells with her. She wants to dwell with you. So dwell with her. There are many extras that will want your attention, Brother Chris. But one of the main reasons that she is marrying you today is because she wants a relationship, and she actually wants a husband that she can touch him. You know, he's there, he's present, not just the sound of his voice in the phone. Be home late, you know. This is a common problem with husbands, so I'm hitting it a little, you know. So what do you know about her, Chris? Don't ignore that. Give her honorary treatment. There are many ways you can do that. Something that my wife has found to be honoring is me opening her door for her. There's nothing wrong with her arm or her hand, but there's something of a sense of respect that seems to be paid to a wife when he goes out of his way to treat her in an honorary way, giving her honor. I've known of men who will stand at the table and hold her chair, and when she sits down, I don't know, the floor, the tent have too sticky a linoleum or something, and the chair won't scoot. But help her, seat her down, give her honor. There are various ways, but the biggest and most important way is to have honor for her in here. And so if there's honor in here for her, it won't be that impatience. There won't be a snapping. Put value on her perspective, Brother Chris. Put value on her perspective and what she thinks. Well, what do you see in this matter? What sticks out to you? And that'll work the best as you both are in tune with the Word of God and are reading the Word of God and seeking the Lord in prayer. Be in tune with what she needs. Be affectionate. Take her out. Do a little courting after you're married, and more is better. Probably soon responsibilities are going to come, and it's going to take effort, more effort on both your parts to live this way with each other. But it says giving honor to her as the weaker vessel and heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Some of the best praying you'll do is praying together. God answers when two agree in prayer. And there's power when husband and wife are united in their hearts and they have the issues that can arise between them. They're settled. They're at peace. There's oneness. And there's praying together. God moves and God guides and God provides in that situation. Today we'd like to consider three points here, Lord willing, in the next few minutes. We want to talk about expectations. You both come into marriage with some expectations. I don't know if you knew it. I didn't, but I still had them. Number two, communication. And number three, thankfulness. Expectations, we all have them. An example of expectations here, what I'm talking about, and that we all have them. When I was growing up, we lived off at a farm and garden very majorly. We would have grown and raised and produced from the farm beef and pork, as well as garden. And most of what we ate as far as any of that kind of thing was from the garden, canned. My mother and sister, I only had one. There were seven of us boys. She was favorite sister to all of us. But we fairly majorly raised what we ate. But on the side, the things we needed to buy, grocery-wise, were mostly bought with money Mom made selling baked goods. She was a very hard worker, and she, out of our home, she would have baked bread and cookies and a variety of goodies, and people came there and bought these baked goods. And fairly majorly, Dad was paying for land on which to farm and raise his seven boys. And so Mom was very industrious, and she made this extra money. Well, guess what happened when my brother got married? Oldest brother got married first, you know. He thought his wife was going to do the same thing. We call that an expectation. I don't know what kind of expectations you two come together with. My father was noted for thrift and industry. My sister's husband had other qualities. But what was her expectation? When she came to realize she needed to dwell with her husband also, according to knowledge, it made a lot of difference in her life. But what expectations should you two have? 1 Corinthians chapter 7 gives us some here. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 33 says, "But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife." That should be your expectation. Seek to please your wife. Sister Julia, your husband is going to be different than your brothers. He comes from a different family. Things were just done differently there. Doesn't matter if you live neighbors. What should your expectation be, Sister Julia? There's difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So whatever expectations you come into your marriage with, put these right in there. I'm going to seek to please my husband. I'm going to seek to please my wife. At the same time, both of you can get the idea and the expectation that he or she will always please me. There's going to be some things that you'll need to give up. There'll be some things you need to yield. It isn't going to be that way here with us. Expect to sweetly accept some things about your mate. Don't try to remake your mate. You know, I wanted a mate that was like this, had these qualities, and this is how they operated, and this is, you know, so, Chris, can't I make you a little more like that? Or Julia, can't I, you know, don't try to, it doesn't work real good. Some people are very plan-oriented, for instance. We know what will happen. You know, next Friday, they know already a week ahead of time, next Friday, so-and-so event is coming up, and we need this and this and this. And by Monday, those people may well have everything in stock that's ready to meet whatever is needed there next Friday. There are others that just wing it. I don't know what the day may bring forth. I'm not going to try to plan it too heavily. You know, it just gets you in trouble, causes a lot of frustration. That's the two different mindsets. And I don't know how the two of you are. But expectations. Expectations can really be a problem. We need communication. Keep love's flame burning. Number two, I want to talk about communication. I have four F words on communication here. The first F word here on communication is frequent. You know, up until this point, you've spent many hours communicating to get to this point. Each week, you've looked forward to communication. Well, frequently, continue to share your heart. Frequently. That word F, frequently. Take the time to talk. It can be various times. Figure out when is a good time for you. You know, back there, a plan for some times of communication. I was inspired with the words from the Song of Solomon. It says, "The voice of my beloved." Oh, that's my beloved. Oh, let me not dim her voice, his voice. When my father turned 70 years old, he needed to take a hearing test to see how well he is hearing. And they asked him, are you hard of hearing? And he says, my wife says sometimes that I am. And without just like that, the lady says, "Oh, selective hearing." Don't give each other selective hearing. You know, well, I just chose to not hear that. Make your commitment strong, but take delight in communication. My beloved is mine and I am his. Frequent. The second word is full. Share it all. There are some things that we don't always have to talk about. But if it's been hurtful, you need to tell that also. It's not possible to work through it So when you're sharing and you're working through some things, oh, you said, I have to work through some things. And most people do. Maybe you'll be an exception, but most people do. And so when you're working through things and there have been things that bother you, have caused you a struggle, share it all. Don't leave something there underneath to cause distress and keep any kind of resentment or any kind of hurts stirring. Don't hide things from each other. Let the communication be full. And if you have hurts, don't share it in a hurtful way. Full communication. Share your joys. What has been meaningful to you? Just on the way here this morning, my wife was reading from Psalm 34, I believe it was, and how those words stood out to her. They're the words of encouragement and comfort, the words of appeal to the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Share fully. Share fully enough to be open, whether it's normal or whether it hurt or bothered you, this or that. Keep everything open and clear. Keep things current. We could have also used the word fresh there. Don't let it sit a long time. If you find yourself having differences, does that automatically mean that there's going to be tension or coldness, a clash or willfulness? You who've been married a little longer and some of your ideals maybe have dimmed here. Is there ever any rudeness in your communication? This is not normal or Christian for us to operate that way. Share fully. These kind of tensions and coldness and clash and willfulness. I remember hearing of a minister who many years ago, they were living on a farm and he was talking about marriage and relationships and he and his wife had gotten married and they didn't expect any difficulties or anything, but they had one. And next thing, they find themselves going for 3 days without talking. It's not good. And so in the morning he was out milking the cow, and he started getting right in his heart pertaining to where he was and where their relationship was. And so he decided to change it and comes in with the bucket of milk and he says to his wife, "So what's for breakfast?" And she says, "Brains and eggs." And I don't know if he ever ate any of those, but that's what they were having that morning. And he says, "Well, it's about time to get some brains around here and start talking, start communicating." And so they put those things behind them. But if these kind of reactions are normal, you need to seek to work through those differences and attitudes to where there's warmth and a Christian love ever and always in our home. The next word is fair. Be fair. Look at it through her perspective. Look at it from his perspective. There are some things that I couldn't understand about my wife until I started thinking about if she treated me the way I was treating her. Yeah, I can understand why that'd be hurtful. But until that time, I didn't think about it. I couldn't see it. Many times patience in this matter of fairness goes a long ways. Just listen a while. It's a good word for me. Another way to consider whether or not your communication is being fair, whether you're working together in a fair way, is ask the question, is there anything in the Word of God that applies to this situation? In principle, is there something there that I should consider as I relate to my wife or as I relate to my husband as we're communicating here? Am I wrong? Communicate fairly. If you're wrong, Brother Chris, just go ahead and admit it early. I remember, I think as Abner Kaufman talked about this couple that got on the parkway up yonder, was it the parkway? Anyway, it was the divided highway, and they were going in the wrong direction, and she said, I think you're heading the wrong way, and he said, "We're not going the wrong way," and he just got on the accelerator a little harder, and it went several miles in the wrong direction before he had the humility, or I don't know. I guess he's going further and further out of the way. Finally, he turned around and went the other way. But he didn't want to admit that he was wrong. If you're going to have fair communication, husbands, you're going to have to admit sometimes that you're wrong. Wives, that you're wrong. Be fair. The fourth word is free. Free and considerate. Not tense. Never attack one another with words. Oh, but you said, I knew you were lying. Bantering and quarreling, let it not once be. Why so many negative things? Well, they seem to happen. Otherwise, marriages wouldn't break down. Be very strong in your commitment to each other. Scripture says, but speaking the truth in love, you may grow up in Him, which is the head. Considerate chatter. Stimulate an atmosphere of considerate chatter. I just want to suggest something, Sister Julia. Usually when men come home from work and there's something broke in the house, probably as soon as he comes in the door, isn't the best time to tell him that. Let him relax a half hour. It seems like just a little relaxation and just settling down does a tremendous lot for refueling and, I can see that problem now. Now, if there's, a puddle of water on the floor and, it's still running and coming, you probably should mention it right away. Oftentimes, as a couple is learning to work together, this free chatter, a free, happy atmosphere in the home should be very normal. Freely communicate. When I think of free, I think of enthusiastic. Talk about things that enthuse you. Things that encourage you. Free. Our last point here. Excuse me. Last point here is thankfulness. I want to turn to Romans chapter 1. And read a few words here. Thankfulness. Romans 1 and verse 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Here, thankfulness stands at the head of the list of where things go one way or another. They were not thankful here, and they became vain in their imagination. It's very normal for us as people to get very acquainted with the blessings that we have, and we may have experienced the blessing a few times, and then totally begin to take it for granted and think this is the norm, and forget to be thankful. When we become unthankful, unthankfulness stands at the head of a whole line of abominations. Did you notice that ever as you were reading in Romans chapter 1? It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Would you say there's a spirit of thankfulness in your marriage this morning? Are you a thankful person? Are you a thankful wife? Are you a thankful husband? I heard of a couple who, after their wedding trip, they came back home, and he expressed to her how disappointed he was in her. Is it any wonder that she left him years later? I would say he was an unthankful man. There's something about thankfulness that opens our capacity to more and more fully enjoy our blessings. There's some things in us that you can be perfectly normal, a live human being, and you can stick an apple in your mouth and eat that apple And depends, you may not enjoy that apple a whole lot. But if you're very hungry, that probably tastes a lot sweeter. And in the same way, when couples and people are thankful, somehow within our inside is a capacity to enjoy a relationship and enjoy another person and enjoy life in a way that otherwise you wouldn't. Unthankfulness keeps us even from enjoying basic blessings. Did you ever read in the book of Ecclesiastes how a man who has riches and honor and a number of things there, and he says it's a sore evil, he can't enjoy it? I had an uncle that way. Quite well able to enjoy anything that he had, but that money had to stay in the bank for his grandsons when he died, and his wife immediately gave the grandsons each $10,000. He couldn't enjoy that money. I don't know. He was unthankful that much. But unthankfulness hinders us. Thankfulness made manna taste like honey wafers in the wilderness. Later, the same manna, same wafers, taste like fresh oil. It opens the heart to be more fully blessed. I'm sorry I don't find words to better describe that. Thankfulness produces an oil of ease in a home, in a relationship. Be thankful in your hearts for each other. Express it. Think it. Feel a desire to compensate your mate for some of these blessings. Won't that help a lot? Unthankfulness results in bitterness, negative focus, in speaking down, and a miserable existence. You want to go there? Be thankful. In closing here, love wakens beautiful qualities otherwise unknown. A grandchild had an amazing amount of freckles. And Grandma, fearing lest this would become a stumbling block to this child, just doted on how beautiful these freckles were. And one day, she says to the little grandchild, this little young child, she smiles down at that face and says, "What is more beautiful than freckles?" And the child smiles back up and says, "Wrinkles?" Love opens the capacity to enjoy things otherwise unknown. Grow in love by investing thankfulness. Communicate and seek to be a blessing to your mate. Have you considered the Bible standard of marriage and its responsibilities as 1 Peter 3? 1-7 describes. There are other passages. Model your lives after these qualities and the things that you find in the scriptures. It will beautify your lives. Now today, you're making a commitment to marriage, to be together, to be for each other, for as long as you both shall live. I've heard it said that mates are most universally the most appreciated on the day of the wedding and the day of the funeral. Universally, they appreciate them the most those 2 days. Make it different for you. Fill the time in between with much appreciation and much joy and much blessing. What I started to say about this commitment that you're making, we trust that you're both going to be faithful to that. And even if things go hard, sometimes, I know of a couple that have been married was it 27 years when she had a stroke. And he came home to take care of her. I don't remember what the years were, but the years that he took care of her after the stroke were as many as they were married before she had this stroke. And he, with undivided loyalty, took care of her up day and night. So much so, he was in his low 80s, and his sons spent the first night with him after his mother had passed away. And he was up at 3 in the morning. And he says, "Dad, what are you doing up? It's way too early for you to be up." Well, he says, "He usually got up more than this with your mother." And so he was sleeping in, you know, sleeping that long. But this devotion was there, and this commitment was there. But I'm afraid that everything wasn't always very sweet between them. Continue your commitment, but what I'm driving at is let it be a flame of love between you. Whatever comes. We don't know. I don't know what's ahead of me tomorrow. And for those of you that have been married some time, if you have not been investing in your mate, you cannot claim love. If you've not been investing in your mate, you cannot claim love. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Keep love's flame burning. Keep it burning brightly. And may the Lord bless you. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you. You know all our hearts. And I don't know, Father, if there's some hearts here that are hurting. Lord, has there been some violation? Lord, maybe there's some hearts here that are pitter-pattering happily. We thank you for those. Lord, those that have been mistreating their marriages, those that have been considering whatever they've been considering, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to get their lives back on track. Begin to give Christian treatment and experience Christian love flaming up again. I pray, Father, for your mercy. I pray that you would bless Brother Chris and Sister Julia here as they say their vows. Lord, help them to remember as they've memorized. And I pray, Lord, that the living would be grand and a blessing. Bless Brother Levi, Lord, as he leads out in the ceremony and joins them as husband and wife. Lord, would you come and put your stamp of approval and put your stamp of blessing upon this couple, that their joys might be many, their sorrows few, and your grace upon them for many years. In Jesus' name, amen.